so glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
I began a series about 3 weeks ago called You Matter. And this will be the last installment unless God does something supernatural before next Sunday, because I'm already working on next Sunday's message. But we began talking about you matter, and we talked about that your life is significant. That was the first one. Your life is significant, and there's a reason that you're still here. How many knows that the enemy tried to snuff you out a couple of times, but you're still here? The enemy tried to take you down and take you out, but bless God, you're still here. Some of you just hard-headed enough and stubborn enough go, no, I ain't going down. Amen. But others realize that there is something in you that the devil's trying to kill, but you're still here. Grace sees your past, but is concerned about your future. Forgiveness is a forgiveness. Fear and doubt are to be expected, but they're not to be obeyed, right? And we talked about that. And God's grace is big enough. Your past doesn't define you. Look at somebody and tell them, your past doesn't define you. And then we talked about you have a purpose, that you're special. I'm not talking about you're special, but you're special. Your life can make a difference in somebody's life. Born with a purpose. Fulfill that purpose in your life. That you matter because God wants to use you and your past doesn't define you again. We talked about that. Then last week we talked about you matter to God. This church, you matter to me because He loves you. He cares for you. He wants to touch your life. You are worth investing in. Identity is not found in the world, but it's found in Jesus. And your fulfillment will come from Him. Your past doesn't define you. I don't know if you've caught that theme that's been running through these messages, and that is that your past doesn't define you. That I can't help where you came from, and you can't change where you've been and what you've done, but what you can change is what you're going to do today. What you can change is what your future is going to hold, because now we begin to understand who holds our tomorrow. Can you say amen? And so now I want to end with you matter to me. Now you may go, well, Pastor, you don't even know me. I'm not talking about me particularly. But you do matter to me. Now let me start with this disclaimer. Just because somebody doesn't do everything you want them to do doesn't mean that they still don't matter to them. Or you don't matter to them. Are you hearing me? See, that's childish. How many knows that a child wants a child? A child wants whatever they want is what they want. But how many knows that's not always good for them? If I did what I want, I would eat Snicker bars 3-4 times a day. Amen. Glory. And then follow up with some ice cream. Right? But that's not good for me. It's good for my emotions. It's good for my soul. But it ain't good for my body. And I hate to bring this up, but your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. So you ought to try to take care of it. Amen. That's like the one guy. Never mind, I ain't going to go there. Let me just get into the word. Matthew chapter 13. I'm reading from the New Living Translation today because I like the verbiage of what it says. But the sentiments is the same. Matthew chapter 13 verse 44. When you get there, say amen. If you haven't found it and you need some time, say, hold on. If you wasn't planning on finding it, go ahead. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. And in his excitement, he hid it again. Now, I want you to get it. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. He was walking by whatever, found this treasure, and in his excitement, he hid that treasure again and sold everything that he owned to get enough money to buy the field in which he hid the treasure in. All right? And again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant on the lookout for choice pearls. And when he discovered a pearl of great value or of great price, he sold everything he owned and bought it. Father, bless the reading of your word in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Amen. It seems that many people are struggling with identity. And that is, who am I? Who am I? Not only who am I, but who am I to you and who am I to the world? We're struggling with identity, and there is an identity crisis in America because most folks have not been told by their parents who they are. Some folks don't know who their parents are, and you've never had anybody to tell you who you are. I've come by to tell you that you are a child of God. I've come by to tell you that you belong to God. You're of the house of Judah. You've been bought with a price, purchased with a price, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ. So therefore, you are born of God, and you have an identity. But the problem that we have is so many people, especially in this nation, are trying to figure out who they are. Now, it hasn't been recent, but how many remember this statement? Oh, I just had to go find myself. Well, you're right there. How do you find yourself? You're right there. What most of them mean is, I don't know who I am, and I got to go figure some things out. And so they check out of society trying to figure out who they are. They check out of responsibility. And what they're asking really many times is, do I matter? That's what they really want to know. Do I matter? Maybe you've been in a relationship. Maybe it was in a home that you were overlooked. I'm number 10 out of 11 children. I was overlooked all the time. I was a number. We'd cross the street and mama would just count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Where's number 10? Where's number 10? What's number 10's name? Ronnie. Ronnie, where you at? I'm over here, mama. Amen. But listen, I don't have any identity. After a few counseling and a little few ticks left, other than that, I'm good. But we ask, do I matter? I told the story. They left me at church one day. I probably needed to be there all day. But anyway, they left me there. They forgot me on the bench. I went to sleep. Be careful. Y'all go to sleep up in here. We'll leave you in here. Does my life make a difference? That's what people want to know. Do I matter, and does my life make a difference? Does anybody even notice me? This is the one that I get. This is the one I don't get. Is people go, well, I wonder if anybody would even notice if I was gone. Well, somebody would. The people you owe money to would. Amen. Eventually they would come looking for you. Does anybody really care about me? And that's what a lot of us want to know, right? Does anybody really care about me? Now, I'm very hesitant in preaching this message in one way because there are so many people who are self-absorbed. And I want you to know that you matter, but you're not the only one that matters. And we too often want to say that I matter above you and you a matter above this one. But we've all got to come to the conclusion that I matter, that I do have significance, that I can make a difference. And if I leave, somebody is going to miss me. But I wonder how long that treasure in our text was hidden in the field. Apparently, the owner of the field did not put it there, and he would have never sold the field. I wonder if the owner of the field ever even knew that it existed. There are people that don't even know the giftings that are in your life. There are people who look right over you and don't know the treasure and the price of a great pearl that you are.
But I've come by to tell you that there is somebody who needs your attention. There is somebody who craves your conversation. There's somebody who needs you in their life. I don't know who it is, but it is somebody that you were created. You were created to fill a void in somebody's life, but not to fill the, but you don't need to understand, you don't need to try to fill the void in your own life. Jesus does that. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm telling you that sometimes you ever see folks together and you're like, how do they get along? Now, Pastor Steve, one of my best friends is Brian Cutshaw. He was here a couple of months ago. And Pastor Steve said, I don't understand how y'all are friends. I go, I will slap the spit out of your mouth. Just because we're so different. How many of you ever seen that? It's because we matter to one another. Am I talking to anybody? I wonder how long the treasure was there. Before he could gather the treasure, he had to buy the field. So in order to buy the field, he had to invest in it. He had to make his taking of the treasure legal. No one could accuse him of taking something that didn't belong to him. But he was no dummy either. He knew a treasure when he saw it. My God, somebody. See, the right people ain't looking at you yet. You ain't been in the right circles yet. Because if you ever get in the right circle, people are going to believe that, know and understand and realize that you are a prized possession, that you are a treasure. He knew a treasure when he saw it, and he was willing to do whatever he had to do to get this treasure. So he went and sold everything that he had so that he could buy this treasure. But understand, Jesus is telling us a parable here. He's teaching us something about the kingdom of God. And point number one is this. The treasure Jesus is talking about is not money or gold. It's people. It's people. You are what he died for. If nobody else gives you significance, that ought to give you significance. He would have died if you were the only one. When you feel all alone, just know that you're not all alone. Jesus is right there with you. When you feel like that nobody cares, when the preacher don't understand you or the pastor don't understand you or even the care pastor, you can't get a hold of the care pastor and it doesn't seem like he cares. He does. But I just want you to know that Jesus does. Jesus knows you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And in the midnight hour, he knows your address. When you think everybody's forgotten who you are and what you are, Jesus knows your name. He said the hairs on your head are numbered and you are a treasure to him. The treasure and the pearl represent Jesus Christ and the salvation that he offers. And I understand, I want to say that before some theologian comes to me and goes, well, you were all wrong and out of context with that scripture. I want to say to you, first of all, shut up. Secondly, I want to say, but for a moment, I think that it can represent people because Jesus values people. That's what the cross was all about, is saving people. The cross wasn't about him going to a cross for no reason. The cross was about him dying and suffering so that I could have life. He came that I may have life and have it more abundantly. He came so that I could understand that he gave everything that he had. He gave it all in order that I might live. See, through this parable, he's showing us that what you have to do in order to reach people. He's really showing us, what do you have to do to reach people? He said, this man went and sold that he had and bought a field. He sold everything, his house, his land, his livestock, everything that he owed. Why? That's how valuable the treasure was to him. He understood the value of what he had found. Listen to me, church. You are valuable. Point number two is this. How many walk past the treasure every day? How many people just walk past it? I wonder how many people walked past this treasure before the man found it. I wonder how many people walked over it but didn't know it was there. I wonder how many people walked across it but didn't know it was there. They didn't even notice it. I wonder how many times it was walked over and overlooked. Or am I talking to anybody? I wonder how many times that somebody might have seen a speck or maybe a trickle of the treasure but didn't recognize it for what it was. Woo! See, listen to me, church. Some folks are trying to break a strong-willed child, and from somebody who's raised two strong-willed child, you don't want to break their spirit. You want to channel it, because usually that means they're a leader. See, I don't want my daughters and I don't want my children following after anything and everybody. I want them to have a little grit about them. I want them to have a little strength about them, because if everybody else jumps off the cliff, I don't want them jumping off the cliff unless they want to jump off the cliff. Are you listening to me? You got to come to a understanding that, bless God, that people might have saw something in you that they thought was inoperable. They might have saw something in you that wasn't functional. But however, if they see it through the eyes of God, if it's channeled in the right direction, it is something that can be used for God. See, listen, all of us have a little stubborn streak in us. But if God can get a hold of that stubborn streak and begin to channel it toward the things of God, we'll stand up. When everybody else says no, we'll stand up and do what's right. We'll stand up and say, no, devil, you're not coming in here and doing those things in my life. I am going to stand and see the salvation of the Lord. I wonder if the treasure at some point might have developed an identity crisis. Would it ever be of value to someone again? My God, if it was a treasure, and the Bible didn't tell us exactly what it was, but it was a treasure. And I wonder if at one time it had value, but something happened, maybe a divorce. Maybe a breakup, maybe abuse, and it was discarded. Maybe it abused itself, and it was discarded and had no value. But the man walking by saw the value. I want you to know that you might have been discarded, and you might have been walked over, and you might have been divorced, and you might have been addicted, and you might have been crazy at one time. But you might have been in jail and locked up. But I come by to tell you that Jesus saw the potential in you, and He saved you, and He calls you by your name. He called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. I come by to tell somebody that you are valuable. That you still have value. Does anybody care about me anymore? Does anybody value me? Does anybody notice me anymore? I'm not talking about silver or gold. I'm talking about something that is more valuable than money. I'm talking about people. I'm talking about Jesus saw something in you that nobody else saw. I tell you, I've been told many times I would never amount to anything. I've been told many times I'd be in jail. I've been told many things. I remember when I started, came into the church of God, I remember somebody over me in the Lord said I would never make it in the church of God. I got news for them. I had a booyah moment, because at some point in time, when nobody else thought I would make it, when nobody else thought anything good could come out of me, Jesus stepped into my life and said, booyah, here He is. Some of you need to get a booyah moment in your life. You need to understand that everybody else might not see value in you, but Jesus saw value and sees value. And I don't care how much and how often you've messed up, Jesus sees something in you. He died for it. His blood covers it. And He wants to bring out the treasure out of the dirt. Understand something. Not having a strong sense of self or struggling with identity issues leads to depression. Leads to anxiety, leads to health problems, leads to psychological health problems, all of which lead to spiritual problems. See, if the enemy can get you thinking wrong about yourself, Lord Jesus. See, we let the world tell us what our identity is in order to be the perfect. I mean, you know, women, you have an impossible task trying to keep up with Hollywood. You ain't got that much money. Quit trying. Right? We have an impossible task. I'm not saying don't, you know, try to take care of yourself. Every old barn needs a paint job every once in a while. Come on, somebody. Amen. I cover up my gray. Some of y'all like, what? You know, some of y'all like, oh, I knew it. I got some gray right here. Y'all gave it to me. And somebody said, Pastor, you ain't got to cover up the gray on for us. I said, I don't do it for you. I do it for me. Come on, somebody. I ain't looking for that. But here's what I'm trying to tell you, is that you got to understand the value of who you are, not based on what Hollywood said. Not based on what Hollywood says. What does God say? And God says you are valuable. How do I know that? Because he gave everything that you might live. So you don't want to go into depression. When a person doesn't know who they are in Christ, they have issues. And it's a whole other sermon, but we need to begin to figure out who we are in Christ, what our purpose is, and how much he cares for us because you matter to him. Number three is this: why live in a world where people, or we live in a world where people are struggling to find themselves? People spend money. You know, here's what I don't understand. It ain't as bad now, but you remember the 1-900 Chloe? She'll read your future. And now she's off the air. She should have saw it coming. If she was real. I'm just saying. And charge $9, $35 to get your palm read. Just give me the $35. I'll read your palm. I'll tell you what your future is. I'm going to look at your friends and say, if you ain't careful, that's your future. Talk to somebody. Listen to me, church. People are trying to discover who they are and what their purpose is and why and if their life is significant. You may have had the right parents, the right teachers, the right mentors that have helped you in your life to find out who you really are and to give you the self-worth that you need to fulfill this life. But many folks did not do that. Many folks did not get their self-worth from their parents, even when their parents are good parents. Now listen, I probably won't say this in the next service because some of my family watches our podcast and watches our video. But my daddy passed away January, 89 years of age. And if dad didn't make it to heaven, then I don't stand a chance. But my dad wasn't good at telling his children their worth. Matter of fact, in many ways, it was the opposite. Many, because, you know, my dad was a laborer all most of his life. He was a pastor, but a laborer. And so he didn't give me much value. He would say things. He would compliment me to other people, but never to me. He would tell other people he was proud of me, but I can rarely count on one hand when he told me that he was proud of me. Or if he gave a compliment, somebody hear me. I don't know who I'm talking to, but if he gave a compliment, it was like a backhanded compliment. You know what I mean? It was like a jab, but yet it was a compliment. That is not the way God called us to be. And then somebody asked me one time, then Pastor, how do you have such a self-worth of who you are? I said, because I'm not relying on my daddy or my mama to give me my self-worth. I got into the Word of God. I got into my prayer closet, and I've got a relationship with Jesus Christ. And Jesus began to tell me who I am and what I'm worth. And he began to tell me all the great things that he had in store for me. And how proud, come on, somebody. Well, Pastor, I don't have anybody. You got somebody. You got somebody that died for you to tell you your self-worth. You got somebody who died to let you know that you are valuable and that you are his treasure. It doesn't matter, my God, if you've been discarded. It doesn't matter if you've been thrown away and forgotten about. Jesus never forgot about you. Listen, there's a man, I shared this at the 11 o'clock service last week, but there's a man that will probably be here. He will sit right over here in this section. And I remember 12 years ago, I gave up on him. He was a drug head. He was a horrible father, a horrible husband. And I got tired of praying for him. Some of y'all are like, oh God, I can't believe you said, oh, shut up. You don't ever get tired of praying for somebody? If you don't ever get tired of praying for people, it's because you don't pray for nobody. You ever just get tired of praying for folk? You just get tired of praying because they ain't doing what they ought to do. They know better, but they do the opposite. So finally, his wife got tired of him too. Divorced him. I he ain't no good. He ain't going to ever change. That's what I said. But my God, something happened about 12 years ago. And God got a hold of him. And changed his heart. And about 5 years ago, I married them again. Come on, somebody. He owns his own business now. He's a productive person in society. If you were to look at him, you know he was rough, but you don't know the half of it. Come on now. Why? You see, I'm just telling you that pastor might give up on you. Other folks might give up on you, but Jesus does it because he sees what I can't see. You see, listen, when other people walked by that treasure, there was dirt over the treasure, and they couldn't see beyond the dirt. But my Lord, when Jesus looks at you, he sees you through the blood of his son. He sees you through his blood, and he knows the purpose. He knows the value of who you are, and he never gives up on you. Thank God that I'm not God and that he is God, and he still never gives up on you. Can I tell you? But pastor, you don't understand. I've messed up so many times. I've backslid. God said, I'm married to the backslider. People may give up on you, and you might have to go somewhere else, but Jesus never gives up on you because he knows the value of who you are. See, the reality of it is this. Most of us, I have no idea where I'm at. Well, thank you. Most people deal with some sort of insecurity. Surely they don't, pastor. Oh, yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. See, people, sometimes the people who put on the most security vibe out are the ones who are most insecure. The people sometimes that mock you and put you down are just trying to make themselves feel better many times because of their own inferiority complex or their own insecurities. Pastor, is this psychoanalyst 101? No, I'm trying to get you to understand something. I'm trying to get something out of your mind and into your spirit. I'm trying to get you something. The devil's been speaking to your mind and you let it go to your spirit. And I'm trying to talk to you right now so that you can let Jesus come into your spirit and begin to realize that you quit walking with your head down and quit walking with your shoulders shrugged, but begin to stand up before Jesus and square your shoulders up back and say, my God. You see, because listen, I'm just going to tell you. There's something about it. When you clean somebody up, come on somebody. When you clean somebody up and you put some clean clothes on them and they all of a sudden looking smooth. How many know what I'm talking about? You know, they ain't in a pair of dungarees. All right, boy, that's old, ain't it? They ain't in a pair of Levi's all chopped up and looking like a slob. But all of a sudden, you get your hair cut and get it combed. And all of a sudden, you get a little cleaned up. And then you go get something nice on. You know what happens? You begin to act a little differently. You get dressed up. Listen, I'm not going to cut grass in my suit. Why? Because I paid a lot of money for this suit. Amen? Amen. So I know the value of this. And it's something when you begin to clean somebody up, all of a sudden they get a little swag. Y'all don't know what that is? You know, just ask somebody 35 or younger. They get a little swag. You ever see someone? You know, when they just all disheveled, walk like this. But then you put them in a suit and all of a sudden they like smooth. Why? Because they begin to see some value in them. My God, I want you to see yourself with the robes of righteousness on. I want to see you with a royal robe from Jesus on. I want to see you with a blood-stained banner. I want you to see yourself that, bless God, I'm not what I used to be. I'm not what they said I was. I'm a child of the King. I'm not the addict that I once was. I'm not the alcoholic that I once was. I'm not the crack hoe I once was. Are you listening to me? I'm not the pimp I thought I was. Come on, somebody. I'm not that person that I didn't think that I could move any further. I'm not that person with a low self-esteem. I'm not that person any longer. I'm not just a person with a record. I'm not just a person that was crazy, that everybody labeled a crazy person. I am a child of the King. Oh, I gotta hurry. Most of us know these things can really only be found when you come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. But I wonder if people we meet throughout our days and weeks feel like they have value to us. I wonder if they know how much we care about them. What have we done? What have we sold? What have we pushed aside in our own lives to say to them, you matter? You know, I love it when your friends go, you know, they were sick or whatever. Oh, you didn't have to do that. We know it. You know, I went with a friend of mine was in the hospital, and I went to sit with him, and it was a couple hours away, but I went there and I stayed a couple hours with him. He goes, oh, Ronnie, you don't have to do this. A pastor friend of mine. He goes, Ronnie, you don't have to be here. I go, no duh. I know I ain't got to be here. Well, but I know you got things to do. Absolutely. And I said to him, and I say to you, it means that you matter when we push aside the things that we have to do in order to do what we're doing. Amen? You know, I told this the other day. I don't know if it was a church or what. But, you know, some people think that pastors, you know, we only work on Sunday. And then, you know, an hour and a half on Wednesday. And the rest of the time, we just sit in the office twiddling our thumbs waiting for somebody to call. I hope somebody will need me today. No. I wish that was the job description. No. I think I told this crowd last Sunday, I'll put my hours up against anybody's hours. I mean, we work, man. Matter of fact, Pastor Steve used to be, remember, listen to this. Pastor Steve used to be the general manager of a car dealership. He said, Pastor, I never had to write stuff down because I could remember it. He said, we are so busy, I have to write everything down or it won't get done. I go, welcome to my world. But what are you saying, Pastor? I'm just telling you that we've got to understand. People don't know what you do sometimes in order to let them know they matter. Now, I'm not telling you to go and tell them, well, you know, that I'm missing a movie right now just so I can be here with you. I'll never forget. Now this won't mean a whole lot to all of you, but I'll never forget. It was so funny to me that this person didn't even go to my church. Their mother went to my church, and it was many years ago. And you know, I probably wouldn't do it now. I don't know. I probably wouldn't. No, I wouldn't. And we were going to General Assembly in San Antonio, Texas, which is, you know, we had our flights and booked and everything. And this lady called me. Her mother went here, but she went to another church, a Church of God. And she called me, she said, Pastor Ronnie, can you do my daughter's funeral? I said, well, when is it? I go, well, what about her pastor? You know, because I don't want to overstep my boundaries. What about her pastor? Well, her pastor's said he's got to go to General Assembly. I said, well, just to let you know, so do I. Oh, really? I said, yeah, but I'll do it because I can do it and then still make a flight. Now, that meant something to her. No, I'm not looking for that, really. I'm just trying to get you to understand. People give up stuff to do something. Listen, you gave up something to be here. You gave up sleep. Some of y'all get up early anyway, and for the rest of us, we dislike you. I figure if the Lord wanted me to see the sunrise, he'd put it about 7:30, 8 o'clock. Amen. However, I was up at 5 o'clock this morning. But anyway, that's only on Friday, Sundays. But I'm just coming by to tell you, what have we done to push aside? I'm going to spend some time with you. I'm going to take you to dinner. You know, listen, I don't know who it was. Somebody took care of my bill last night. I was at Cody's. They took care of my bill last night, and I don't know, thank you, whoever you were. I've seen a couple of our church people. If it was you, God bless you. Thank you for doing that. And to let you know, I'm going to Crackers for lunch. So, so if you want to join me there and take care of the bill, fine. Good. But you understand what I'm saying. I mean, that mattered. And they didn't come up to me and go, hey, I just want you to know I took care of your bill because I'm all that in a bag of chips, and I just want you to know. No. See, that meant something. When's the last time that you said, I'm going to sit down and listen to your story? When's the last time that you said, I'm going to spend some time with you? When's the last time you said, I'm interested in you? Can I tell you, let me help you here. John Maxwell taught me this many years ago, and I'll never forget it. Have you ever been in a conversation and you just keep one-upping You know, you just, well, I'll tell you what, man, I'll tell you. I was on this road one day, and I saw a moose. Wow, really? What road? Man, I was on that same road, and I saw Sasquatch. Bigfoot, come on, somebody. Oh, I was on that way and had dinner with Bigfoot. You know, I mean, it just gets crazy. And then you get people who compare scars. Well, if you think that's bad, let me tell you this. Let me tell you what they did to me. And you might as well just be like, look at this scar. Let me help you how to make somebody feel better. Let them win. Just let them win every once in a while. Because who matters? What does it matter? Especially, you know, I'm not saying don't tell your stories, but just be sensitive. Every once in a while, just let somebody else win. I'm going to sit and listen to your story. I'm interested in you. You're not just an object to me. You're not just an interruption to me. Sometimes you got to be careful that sometimes it's a divine interruption. Now, there are some people who are just time wasters. Pastor, you're confusing me. That's why you got to be balanced. You got to know who's been sent by whom. You know, good Lord Jesus. Let me get over here by Pastor Cash. Because he's so nice. But Pastor Cash, I've sat and listened to people before, and I just looked at them and smiled. I thought, you a lying sack of piece of crap. He said that in church, didn't he? Yeah, I did. You are out of your ever-loving mind. That's your tail, but I sit on mine. Come on now. Oh, y'all ain't ever done it. So you got to be careful that you don't let people come in and waste your time. You ever watched a movie and think, I'll never get those 2 hours back because that was stupid. And I spent $20 at it. They're time wasters. All right, let me wrap it up. How many people looked at that pearl in our text? How many people said it's not worth very much? How many other merchants ignored its value? But to this merchant, it was worth more than everything he owned. Why the difference? Why was it worth more to the person than it was someone else? I think that they saw how valuable it was, but only this man was willing to go out of his way to own it. Now, I want that to sink in. This man was willing to go out of his way to own it. You know, some people go, well, I could do what they do. That ain't the question. Are you willing to do what they did? Oh, yeah, you could run a business after it's up and running, but are you willing to take the risk? Are you willing to work for weeks without pay just to get it off the ground? Come on, somebody. But I tell you right now, I ain't going to work if I don't get paid. Because they see the price further down the road. Am I making sense to anybody? Listen, I wonder this morning, do the people in our lives know how valuable they are to us? I wonder if people in our lives, let me just tell you, if you don't pay the price for the pearl, someone or something else will. What do you mean by that? I don't get it. You know, not last year, but the year before, I was celebrated for 25 years of consecutive youth camps. Now, that meant I went to youth camp, worked in these camps for not a lot of sleep. I mean, it's a task to go. Some of you guys not only went, but some of you worked it. Ariana, you working this year? All right, so we got, my daughter's worked every year. But we worked the youth camp. You work in youth camp, Arthur? All right. And it's fun, but yet it's tough. Arthur comes back white. Because he's just exhausted. He come all bug-eyed. And one year I did it, and I had some church people go, Well, you've missed too many Wednesday nights.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Why do you go down there, Pastor? I said, because if I don't give my time, there's a pedophile willing to give their time. There's a drug addict. There's a drug pusher willing to give their time. Now, I've gotten old. I didn't go last year. It was the first time in 25 years I didn't go. And it ain't looking good for this year. But Pastor John's going. He's still young. Hallelujah. And we got a bunch of other folks going. But I'm just saying, if you're not willing to pay the price, somebody is. Somebody. Some people's businesses have been built because no other business would take that job on. Again, we're not really talking about pearls here. We're talking about people. In John chapter 4, we find Jesus risking his reputation and his future. The future of his ministry to go to Samaria to speak to a woman who had five different husbands, and the one she was living with was not her husband at the time. Some other people passed by. Some other people looked down on her, abandoned five times. I'm sure she had an identity crisis. I'm sure she felt worthless. Matter of fact, she went to the well in John chapter 4. She would go to the well when the other women wasn't there so that she didn't have to look at them. So that they wouldn't look down on her. So that they wouldn't talk about her. So that she wouldn't have to. She knew what everybody thought about her, but she just didn't want to go and have to face it. So she went at a different time. She had zero value. But then Jesus tells his disciples, I must go by Samaria. I must. There's a woman there. There's a woman there that has no value. And I'm diverting my trip so that I can go there and tell her, you have value. I'm going there to tell her I came by. Not only to speak to her, but ministers to her and talks to her about her life and her relationship with God. And he lets her know, you matter to me. Again, I might not can use this in the 11 o'clock service, but I feel like it's for somebody. Well, Pastor, if I let everybody take up that much time, and you're right, if you're not careful, everybody will bombard your life and you will not have a life of your own. Well, who do I know? You got to know who you've been called to. You got to know who you've been called to. And you, again, you got to have balance, right? There are people right now, a couple of dudes that I'm dealing with, and I know that God's locked me in on them. And I'm telling you right now, I want to touch them. Jesus, I want to touch them. I want to give them the right hand of fellowship. I want to beat them down. That's usually when you know God's assigned you to somebody. When it's so aggravating, I just want to, as my mama used to say, I want to shake them to the spit. Straighten up, boy. But Jesus knew that he had to have a conversation with her. And when it was over, she went and told the heads of the city about Jesus. She went and told everyone she knew about the one who was concerned about her and her life. This woman became an evangelist to Samaria, a place where a great revival broke out later in the book of Acts. And everyone else walked past her. Everyone else ignored her. No one else thought she had any value. But Jesus knew her value. He knew that in this abused, rejected, and discarded vessel, this little lady was a revival to the city of Samaria. My God, somebody hear me. The currency of a mentor is not money, it's time. Now, I'm going to help some of you right here. And if somebody that you're mentoring doesn't value your time, then they don't value your advice. I'm going to tell you, when I counsel, let me just give you a warning. If you come to a counseling session with me, if you don't do what I said the first time, I ain't got time. You wasted my time, right? Listen, how much time are we willing to spend with that person? How much of our time are we willing to invest in order to bring them to Jesus? We need to understand how valuable it is other people to know that they matter to us. This world's in an identity crisis. It's wondering if it has any value. Stand to your feet with me. I don't know whether you noticed, I don't know how long you've been coming to church here, but I think our church is doing a pretty good job of telling people they matter. I remember that there was only 75 in this service. Now it's more like 200. Because you are telling people that they matter to you, none matter to Jesus. They encourage them. They love them. See, there are people sitting here right now who are here because someone invited you. You're here because someone said, come with me. Let me share with you where I found Focus for Living. Let me share with you where I got help. Let me share with you the good things about Jesus. And you brought them. Because what they were really saying to someone else is that you matter to me. Come share something with me that's changed my life. Come share something that is turning my life around. Come enjoy the touch of God that I feel on Sunday morning. You have value. We need to realize the worth of others. Our past do not define us. I'm going to leave you with this. Man. You can't value people if you're always judging them. You can't value people if you're always judging them. If all you do is look at at what's going wrong in their life, you'll never see what's going right in their life. When you look at others, here's what I want you to do. When you look at others, see hope. See possibilities. I see hope. I see possibility. They matter. Stop looking at their past. Stop limiting their worth. Stop seeing what they can't do and see what they can do and know that they matter. Can I use you? Go ahead and keep playing. I just asked him if I could use him because I wouldn't embarrass him. May was 2 years that Josh has been over here with us. And you don't know Josh's story. Josh was raised in church, got into trouble, went to jail, got out of jail, got into ministry. Yeah. But ministry didn't keep him out of jail. He went back to jail. Then he sent word. Those of you who don't know, this is John Herndon's brother, our youth pastor. So John came to me and said, Pastor, my little brother needs to get out of where he's at. He's asked if he could come over and intern here at our church. I said, boy, let me pray about it. Good Lord Jesus. Because we had just started an internship program, and so I prayed about it. My daughters know him, and they said, Dad, after about 3 or 4 weeks of me praying, they said, Dad, what do you think? I go, I see something in him. I said, I see a little bit of me in him. I said, so I'm going to give him a shot. And he come over, and the first 6 months almost killed me. And then the next 6 months, it almost killed him. And then the next 6 months, I almost killed him. But now he's leading our worship. He's doing good. And I just wonder, Pastor Cash would speak wisdom into his life. I try to speak wisdom into his life. Some of these musicians would speak wisdom into his life. His brother would speak wisdom into his life. Pastor Steve would take him to lunch and tell him, Pastor's about ready to kill you, you need to change this. And then I would take him to lunch and say, I'm about to kill you, you need to change this. And then one day my wife took him to lunch and said, Pastor's about to kill you, you better change, boy. But what I'm saying is, what if we would have gave up? What if? If you're willing, Spirit Life team, come quickly, come quickly. Here's what I want us to do. Two things. I want to give an altar call for salvation. I know it's time for me to quit. But the second thing I want to do is, if you're struggling with just your identity in Christ, maybe you don't think you have value, I'm going to ask you to come in just a moment. But the first thing you need to do, we all, those of us who know Jesus, we know what cures, what helps that crisis is a relationship with Jesus Christ. I give you my word, I won't embarrass you. Would you bow your heads with me, every eye closed, every head bowed? If you don't know Jesus, but you want to know him, would you just lift up your hand?
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.